Bibles and be finding Luke chapter 2, will you? If you brought your Bible, Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read the familiar story once again. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray together. Would you join me? Our Father, we're so grateful to be in your house tonight on Christmas Eve, to come together in worship, to come together to honor Christ who was born, to come to be our Lord and Savior. Father, we've come tonight to honor Him and to honor You for sending Him and for the dear Spirit that You have given to us that we might understand what this is all about and that You might write upon our hearts the truth and even convict us with this truth and show us our need of a Savior and then draw us to our Lord and Savior by the work of the Spirit. So Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we glorify You, three in one, and we bless Your holy name. We thank You that we can be together on this beautiful evening, that You have made a way for us to come in spite of the threat of bad weather, and that we're here in Your house in one accord. And Lord, we thank You so much for what You have reminded us of through these songs, and now through Your Word, the Scripture. Help us now to ponder it as Mary did. Help us to have a heart and a mind that's focused on You and what You have done for our soul in the birth and the coming and the ministry, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ our Savior. Thank You for all He means to us and all He has done for us. We pray in His dear name. Amen. I want us to think from this scripture we've just read about God's providence tonight. Now, the word providence may or may not click with you. It may or may not have a meaning. But it is basically, as it suggests, that God provides. It has to do with God providing everything in life that is needed. God is not surprised. God is not blindsided. God is never at a loss for what to do. And especially as we celebrate Christ's birth, and then a little later in the service as we have the Lord's Supper together, communion as we call it, and think about why He came, and that is to be that perfect sacrifice. That was certainly not an accident. That was the provision of God. And so I want us to think about God's providence. You know, our forefathers understood the word providence. We even have at least one town, probably several in the United States, by the name of Providence. We have institutions that bear that name. And of course, it all has reference to God's providence. He's the great provider, isn't He? And the wonderful thing about salvation is when you come to know Christ as your Savior and you know Him in a personal way, you know the provider. Up until that time, you have His provision, but you don't know the provider. But in salvation, you do. Let's think for a few minutes here, and I'm just going to give you a bare bones outline and some thoughts, these 20 verses we've read about the providence of God. What does God's providence mean? It basically means that nothing happens by chance, that everything in life happens for a reason. Now, sometimes only God knows the reason. Sometimes we know the reason, but we don't know it at the time it's unfolding or happening. But looking back on it, we understand the reason. And sometimes we never know the reason. And though we might think we'll know the reason of everything we get to heaven, we're not told that. And there's some things that God just sometimes keeps to Himself. But I can tell you something, that no matter what it is that happens in this world, are you ready? Everything has this as its ultimate reason. And that is to glorify God. That is the ultimate reason for everything that happens in this world, past, present, and future. In the Christmas story, we see several things here, and I've just read these, that bring out different aspects of God's providence. Let me share these with you. There are five of them. Number one, God is at work behind the scenes. This is often true, isn't it? We began this passage reading about Caesar Augustus, and a decree that went out from him that all the world should be taxed. Think of this as a census. It was a census taken for the purpose of taxation. That's right, they had an IRS even way back then. Didn't call it that. But you know, we do live in a cursed world, and taxation is one of those things that, like it or not, is a part of life. And so Caesar Augustus makes a royal decree or an edict. This is going to happen. Now, you have to understand, when he said something, it was as good as done. It was law. He didn't have to go to a Congress or something like that. He made the law. His word was law. And here's Mary and Joseph, thousands of miles away from Rome, where Caesar Augustus was, and other people, a part of the vast Roman Empire, and they probably wondered, as we do, when government does something. You know, I thought about, we talk about big government. Well, the Roman Empire was big government, I want to tell you. It was big, big government. And vast was its reach. And so here is this decree made. Everybody is going to be enrolled. And I'm sure that people were wondering, and Mary and Joseph, just like everybody else, what's this all about? But they didn't know what God was up to. God was up to something. We know that now, don't we? But right then and there, they didn't know that. They probably wondered, why would Caesar make this decree? Why this and why now? Well, it just goes to show you that God rules and God overrules. And one way to think of this is all of history is really His story. That is, nothing's left to chance. It's working out exactly the way He wants it to work out. And I realize that not all of history is good. In fact, most of it's bad. But God's working it out His way. God's at work behind the scenes. And we see evidence of this all the way through the Bible, don't we? One of my favorite books of the Bible is kind of a neglected book, is the book of Esther. And boy, do you ever see God's providence at work there behind the scenes. You see the same thing in the book of Job. And all the way through and right here, as Christ comes into the world, God is at work behind the scenes. He's at work in your life behind the scenes too. A second truth that we learn from the Christmas story is that God is at work in difficult situations. Joseph and Mary were in Nazareth, but because of this decree and God working through this decree, they had to get up and leave Nazareth where they were doing what everybody does, their normal routine, their working day. And here's Mary expecting a child, and here they are engaged, not fully married, that is, they had not consummated the marriage. But life's pretty good. Everything's all right in Nazareth. But now they've got to pick up. She's expecting. You know the story. And she has to travel from north to south. And there was a lot of hardship involved in that. But God was at work in that. How much and how many times have we said something about COVID? Oh my goodness. And we've just about had it with COVID. Everybody here tonight could say that, couldn't we? We just about had it. It's been tough. It's been difficult. It's been something nobody would have wanted. But can I tell you that God is working in and through COVID-19. He works not only behind the scenes, but God is at work, always at work in difficult situations. A third thing we see here is that God is at work in the right place at the right time. He brings Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and just at the right time, she was great with child, and it tells us here in verse 6, so it was that while they were there, where's there? That's Bethlehem. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So, right place, right time. For her to give birth, it was not an accident. She had to give birth to the Christ child in Bethlehem. You say, why so? Because Scripture had prophesied that. And everything that God predicts in Scripture, you can guarantee it's going to happen exactly like He says it's going to happen. There was only one Scripture in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Only one that told the birthplace of our Lord and Savior. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that will be the ruler in Israel. We sing, O little town of Bethlehem. And it was a little town. Scripture says so. Out of you, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, that's where he's going to be born. And this was the providence of God, wasn't it, that got them there at just the right time when she went into labor and had the baby. God had a big plan for a little town. That's the providence of God. There's a fourth thing I want you to be aware of, and that is that God is at work in revealing truth to us. Now, we see that through the shepherds. The shepherds actually have more a part of this story in Luke that we just read than anything else. A lot is said about the shepherds and what took place out on the hillside, out of Bethlehem there, out in the countryside. From verse 8 down to verse 18, God sent the angel to tell the shepherds what had happened. Here they are again, kind of like Mary and Joseph. They're just out there minding their business and tending the sheep. There had never been a night like this. And they would not have known what had happened in Bethlehem except God had told them. All that was the providence of God. Why did God choose shepherds? Why not rabbis? Why not teachers? Why not religious types? Why shepherds? Well, God does what He wants to do. And Jesus was to be the good shepherd. So maybe that was part of God's thinking and God's plan. But we do know that's who He gave the announcement to those shepherds. And then the angel is the one that told them about the good tidings of great joy about Christ being born. And let me just read that one verse again because it's so precious to us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, because David had been born there, King David of the Old Testament. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is Lord and He is Savior. And so the angel made that clear. Then you have a whole chorus, a choir of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, confirming what the one angel said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This had to be revealed to those shepherds. And I just want to slow down here and point this out because I think it's important. In fact, I know it's important because God makes reference to it three times in the story. Is the fact that this was something these shepherds could never have known unless God revealed it to them. And so when God reveals things to us through His Word, it's the providence of God. God provides light in the darkness. God provides truth so that we're not swept away by error. God provides these things. He lets us in on things that otherwise we could never know. It's a marvelous thing. The providence of God in revealing truth to us. Verse 15 is the first place. Let us now go even to Bethlehem, the shepherds said, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The second time is verse 17. And when they had seen it, that is, they saw Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger, when they had seen that, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the third time, down in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Three times God told them. Otherwise, they would never have known. Aren't you thankful for what God has shown you? So precious a book we have that God has told us things that otherwise we would never, ever know. Even the Christmas story. The crucifixion story. I mean, everything we know about our Savior, we know because of this blessed book. The providence of God in giving us this truth. One last thing, and we'll close. God is at work in all these ways. And in one more, and Mark's referred to it, and Josh referred to it on Sunday night, as Mark mentioned. And that is that God is at work in our hearts and minds. This is providential. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We might say it like this. Mary thought long and hard about what had happened. It wasn't just a glancing thought. Well, of course, anytime a baby's born, you ponder that, don't you? But here's a special baby, a special child, and she knew that he was born by the conception within her, apart from Joseph or any man, virgin born, the Holy Spirit came upon her, and all that had now unfolded in the birth of the child and the shepherds coming and all of this. And then later on, there would be the wise men. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept them. She treasured them with humility and with gratitude. Isn't that the attitude we should have tonight? I think that would sum it up, wouldn't it? Humility and gratitude as we ponder the birth of Christ. But now let's fast forward. We're going to enter into this time we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And again, in God's providence, He sent a baby that would come to die. Now we know that all babies, it's a terrible thought, but it's a true thought, all babies eventually are going to die. Right? It's appointed unto man once to die. But though all people die, this was the express purpose of Christ's coming, was to die. And think of it, we die because we are all sinners. We inherit a sin nature, and then we commit acts of sin, and the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But Christ committed no sin. So there was no sin in Him or upon Him that He had to die for. It was our sin that He was dying for. Our sin upon Him. And so, 33 years later, Christ has now become a man. He's had a ministry. And in that upper room, we know from Scripture, there was an appointed place and an appointed time. It was the Passover season. And His disciples were gathered around. And that was no chance meeting. Again, that was the providence of God that they be there. And during that Passover meal, Jesus instituted what we now know as the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to invite you to turn your communion cup